The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And it is Friday, and we welcome all of you to our little show. Yes, it is Friday before the big game on Monday night, and yes, we'll also spend some time talking about that. Let's do all of that and your phone calls. Before that, let's get to some headlines. There are no excuses for Kirby Smart in Georgia to extend the Bulldogs' title drought. I'm all choked up thinking about that. With mighty Alabama in the way, have you gotten the idea that Kirby Smart is a big topic of conversation in this deal? The psychology of Kirby Smart losing to Nick Saban. One of our guests today will be Dr. Sigmund Freud. But I don't think Dr. Freud could figure out what's up with Caleb Williams. This is interesting. Charlie Batch, former QB, former coach, or current coach, actually, has offered him $1 million. Charlie, $1 million, a lot of money to me, maybe not a lot to Caleb Williams. I think he can do better. In fact, I'll raise that million if he'll go to which school? Where would you like to see him go? Could it be one of the schools in the national championship game? That could happen. What are we going to do here today? How about Heather Dinich on the latest from Indy? She'll report on the big meeting scheduled this weekend. And then Mike Griffith. He's also in Indy. Why is everybody in Indy and I'm stuck at home? Are they not going to let me go to this game? Maybe not. And Jimbo Fisher, who's the head coach of Texas A&M. He'll be hosting a film room on Monday night. We'll ask him about is he going to be right here?
No.
He's not? I think he's – okay. I don't know where he's going to be. A lot of times they do it in the building we're in the room we're in.
Yes.
So if Jimbo Fisher is in this studio and I'm not, I will die. I mean, the thought of him being right here. We'll ask him where he's going to be. And your phone call is at 855-242-7285. Let's begin with Connor, who is in the name of the state is Alabama. I tried to sound like Brian Kelly there. Alabama. Go right ahead, Connor.
What's going on, Paul? I appreciate you taking my call, man.
Thank you.
I'm dead smack in the middle of my quarantine right now, man. My wife and I, we've been cooped up in the house. I've been able to catch your show every day this week, so that's been a pleasure, man. I wanted to get your opinion on something real quick. Now, we're going to talk. This is kind of fantasy talk here, especially for us Georgia fans. Been heartbreak all my life. But I want to ask you something. If 13, Mr. Stetson Bennett IV, gets it done, is there any chance that Georgia hangs 13 in the rafters one day?
Well, they probably should.
Right.
It's a good conversation piece. Yeah, I mean, Stetson Bennett will go from walk-on to greatest dog since Herschel Walker. By the way, I'm curious about something, Connor. Where are you in your quarantine right now?
Tested positive on Wednesday. What's funny is we had a massive game day watch party for both playoff games. There was 12 people there and 8 people have tested positive. Luckily, everybody's doing good. Everybody's safe and healthy and getting healthy. And the goal is just to be back, you know, with friends and family by Monday. That's the goal.
So tell me this, I'm fortunate that I have not had it. As soon as I say that, I'll probably, come down with it.
That's a blessing.
So is it just you and your wife?
In my house right now. We've been in here cooped up for, she tested positive on Monday. It's been about 5 days for her and it's been about 4 days for me. So
you can't go out. Is that it?
Well, we're choosing not to, just to keep everybody, as a courtesy to the public, obviously trying to do our duty and just stay in here. You know, a lot of Gatorade, A lot of family members bringing us meals, keeping us, you know, trying to keep us sane in here, and obviously watching the Fine Bomb Show. Come on now.
Well, at least you have your wife. I mean, some of these isolations where you literally are locked up in your own, in a room upstairs and can't come out of it. Those are the ones that make me uncomfortable.
That is exactly right. It is a blessing. Unfortunately for her, she was cooped up in a single room for about 2 or 3 days until I finally tested positive, and then obviously she was allowed to come out of our bedroom there.
So you really just said you're positive. You're really not, are you?
Oh yes, 100%.
Okay.
Yeah, we both tested positive.
I just didn't thought you were just trying to make your wife feel better.
No, and she's been great. She's even been still cooking. We're both feeling better now. We're on the upside, you know.
Well, listen, I am glad to hear it, and it is, you know, those of us who have been traveling a lot lately, you know, we're hearing quite a few horror stories, and let's hope everybody can get to Indianapolis and back safe. Well, you take care of yourself, Connor, and appreciate the COVID update. I am not feeling that great, to be honest with you, Randy. John is up now. Can you get it over the phone? John, yes. Is up next in Louisville.
You're always positive, Paul. Get over
You're
it.
You're right. I'm positive when I'm negative.
Yeah, well, you will be when Mike Griffith comes on, I'm sure.
Yeah, if I could, I might go test it during that interview.
Totally. Anyways, first and foremost, great show last year.
Thank you.
And I think a real tribute to that was the calls from Cindy and others this week that, you know, that they were just so touching and warm.
Yeah, there were two calls this week, three or four calls actually, but the Cindy call and then the call from the 91-year-old mother of the former senator.
Yes, Jones.
Right. Gloria, yeah, I communicated with Doug. He was on vacation, and he sent me the former United States Senator from Alabama. He sent me a text saying, "Did my mom really call?" I said, "Yes, she did." I wanted to say the good news is it can't really affect you. It can't cost you any votes at this point, so you're in good shape.
Unless he turns Republican, his career's over in that state.
I think so.
Yeah. Anyways, I did go to the game down in Florida, and I watched Georgia closely. And obviously, it was a difference between a team with 4 and 5 stars versus 3 and 4 stars. So, but I did notice Georgia was much more aggressive both on the offense and defense. But you have really been zeroing in all week asking, okay, why is it going to be different this Monday? And all they can seemingly come up with, well, it was a wake-up call. And even yesterday, somebody said Alabama had its own wake-up call, Texas A&M. Well, how about Auburn? How about Arkansas? How about Tennessee? I really I was impressed with Georgia, but I cannot see the missing piece why they should win Monday night.
I know, John, I've sounded repetitive on that, but you know, I've so many people have just come on with it was a blessing, it was this, it was that, and I'm just trying to understand it. And by the way, I don't. It doesn't matter to me. I mean, I think if Georgia wins the game, I think it's going to be fabulous. I really do, because if ever a program has been that as close as they have, they deserve it. They deserve to taste the taste of that victory. But I just want somebody to better explain it. That's all.
Yeah, I agree. And by the way, just a quick comment on Harbaugh. I know someone in Ann Arbor, and when he moved in there, his parents moved to Ann Arbor. I think his word is good, and I think he said he's going to be back. And if ever a man said, "I coach for the love of coaching," him giving up $2 million, I think, speaks for itself. He doesn't have an agent. Next week after the CFP finals, I think he'll sign a contract there and
you're
stay there.
Make,
I mean, he really
John,
does
you're
love it.
Made me start liking Harbaugh with that.
Well, here's another quick story on him. When he moved back there, you know, what, 7 years ago, he chose a house in the neighborhood he grew up in the St. Francis Xavier Parish. I mean, that's how much, because his dad used to coach for Sam Blecher. So that's how much he loves Ann Arbor.
John, I don't know if I've ever told you this. This is now 35 years ago, maybe more, 36 years ago. When Jim was at Michigan, I was an ascending writer, and there was a magazine. It was called Sport Magazine. You probably remember it.
Yes.
I did some work for them occasionally just to further my resume and to earn a few coins. And the project I did one summer for their preseason football magazine was a story of two fathers and sons. And I got to interview both fathers and both sons. The two fathers were John, and I don't remember his name, Jim and John's father. And
Jack Harbaugh.
Jack Harbaugh, yeah, I forgot. So I interviewed Jack, and the other father was a little more famous. I interviewed Jack and Don Shula.
Oh, cool.
As well as their two sons. I interviewed Mike Shula, who later went on to become the head coach at Alabama, and, of course, Jim Harbaugh. It was really a fun story about two fathers, tutoring their sons to become starting quarterbacks in major college football. And that was the first time I ever talked to Jim Harbaugh. And he was actually friendly. Of course, he was 21 years old.
Well, he didn't know you.
He didn't know that 36 years later I would be tormenting him. Hey, thanks for the call. We're heading to a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We welcome all of you back. It's great to have you here on a Friday afternoon. Monday, we are planning on being at Lucas Oil Stadium doing the show from the site of the national championship, and we will see you then. Shannon is up next. Hello, Shannon.
I'm going to tell you what, Paul. If Stetson Bennett leads them to the national championship, they ought to put a statue up in front of the stadium. It wouldn't have to be a real big statue. I mean, we know the guy's vertically challenged, just a small one, but just to commemorate his accomplishments, I think that'd be a great idea.
I think they ought to rename the school after him.
Hey, how about the practice field, the locker room, the weight room, whatever else they can do. Hey, Paul, I don't think people appreciate the highbrow discussion that goes on your show. A few weeks ago, we were talking about Renaissance poetry and Milton. Yesterday, it was Harper Lee and American literature. And then earlier this week, I heard Joe from Red Bay say, after you asked him, what do you think about Kirby and Georgia being the Alabama of the East? His response was, well, I think Jimbo Fisher might have something to say about that. Paul, he does understand how the conference is made
up. He does.
Right? Okay. All right. I just want to make sure. Paul, I have tested positive for optimism in this game. And I'm going to tell you why. Ric Flair was a 16-time world champion. But that means he lost it 17 times. And this will be the first time Kirby has faced Saban in a championship or regular season game that hasn't been either in Tuscaloosa or in the Georgia Dome Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I don't know what kind of funk the Falcons have put on the Mercedes-Benz Stadium with their horrendous performances, but I think that juju has got on Georgia when they face Alabama at Mercedes-Benz, and I'm glad to see it's being played somewhere else.
Hey, Shannon, thank you. And speaking of that, I saw this while we were out in Texas the other day, and we didn't get a chance to talk about it. But did you Ric Flair better never come on this program again acting like he's an SEC fan. How many times have you seen Ric Flair, Randy, on this show, either here or on the road? Oh, I love Auburn, and I love Georgia, and I love – am I right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, did you hear about this last week? Apparently, Rick got his feelings hurt, and I know it sounds stupid for a guy that's 5'11 and weighs 100 and whatever I weigh, to be calling out Ric Flair, but I'm going to do it. He apparently got his feelings hurt and was on the sideline somewhere. I can't remember where this was, and claims that Kirby Smart, oh, here it is. He tweeted this right before the game the other night. He said, "Sorry, Kirby Smart, you should have shook my hand on the sidelines when I was standing next to Herschel Walker in Athens." So apparently at some point this season, Rick got stiffed by Kirby Smart, and he has a picture of himself on Twitter in a Michigan jersey. This was on New Year's Eve, saying, "Today it's all blue. Coach Harbaugh has been shaking my hand since 1989. Go Big Blue."
What a baby.
I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm in the WWE, but what a loser. I mean, can you believe this guy? Calling out Kirby Smart because he didn't shake your hand. You know, Rick, you're done with wrestling, okay? I don't want to say you're washed up. That would be an insult to those who are washed up. But Kirby Smart during a game's got better things to do than to shake your grimy hand, okay? And for you to turn on Kirby Smart and plant your flag with Jim Harbaugh? How pathetic. I mean, am I right? That is, and I'm not, the first time I met Ric Flair, I was in awe.
Yeah.
Second time, less.
Less awe.
Less awe?
Yeah.
But I mean, remember, Bill Goldberg was carrying the flag for the Dogs last week. He was the game day special picker. And, I mean, how petty can you get? I'm sad because you know, we've had a great relationship with Ric Flair, and I'm calling out the second greatest WWE wrestler of all time behind Hulk Hogan, and I shouldn't be doing it, but I am. Why did I break my hand on that microphone? I've been meaning to say this since we got back from Arlington. Anyway, I'm glad I did. I feel better.
Okay.
Got that off my chest. Wow. Glenn is up next in Mobile, Alabama. Hello, Glenn.
Good afternoon. I have a quick comment and a question for you. My comment is yesterday one of your callers mentioned Woody Hayes. Well, back in the 80s, I had occasion to be managing a family restaurant in southeastern Ohio, and Woody owned a farm down the road about 40 miles, and he would stop at this restaurant on his way to the farm or on his way back to Ohio State and have something to eat. And he always sat at the counter, one of those round counters like they used to have in the old family restaurants back in the day, Big Boy and places like that. Well, about 5 weeks after he got fired, he came in on his way to the farm. And someone saw him come through the door, and it started in the back of the restaurant, one person clapping their hands. And before you know it, the whole restaurant, about 300 people, I mean, it was packed, 300 people stood up. They must have applauded for 10 minutes. He just stood there with tears running down his face. And when it was finally that it died down, he just talked to everybody and said, thank you so much for your support over the years. I still love Ohio State. And he promptly sat down and had an ordered a meal. It was the most amazing thing. But he used to stop in there, and I would talk to him when he came in. He always wanted to talk about history. He didn't want to talk about sports. He wanted to talk about history, especially World War II history. He really loved
Glenn,
history.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I had the occasion to meet him a couple of times after he left coaching. And one night I ran into him. He was in town for some event where I lived. And we were just standing there in the hotel lobby, and it ended up going not as long as this one, but maybe 20, 30 minutes. And you're right. He got into history. A brilliant guy who never, I don't know if he really gets his due because of what happened at the end of his career, but one of the great coaches of all time. Thank you for mentioning that. I keep looking down. I think Ric Flair's calling me. We'll be right back. Much more to come after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back, and while most of us are focused on the game Monday night, there's a lot of other things that will be going on in Indianapolis, beginning over the weekend with a very important meeting. Heather Dinich joins us right now from India. Heather, always good to have you on. So before we get to the specifics, lay out for us what is going to take place here with these commissioners and other people involving the future of the CFP.
Sure, Paul. On Saturday, the 10 FBS commissioners and Notre Dame Athletic Director Jack Swarbrick are going to meet here in Indianapolis to continue their discussions about CFP expansion. If they can come to a conclusion to present to the presidents and chancellors with the power to change the playoff, they will be here on Monday morning every year before the national championship game. That Monday morning, the 11 presidents and chancellors with the power to change the playoff have a meeting. They could vote on it, but they have to have something to vote on. So can the commissioners and Swarbrick come to a consensus on Saturday, or will they continue discussions on Sunday, or will they continue discussions on throughout another year? We'll have to find out, because I can tell you, Paul, I have spoken to many of them this week, and none of them know what to expect in that meeting.
Heather, sometimes we can be surprised, not often, because your sources are better than anyone. But based on what you're hearing, what do you anticipate, where are the battle lines being drawn? What are the fault lines that are causing this conversation to continue to go on?
Well, one thing at the heart of the issue, Paul, is whether or not the Big Ten, the ACC, Big 12, Pac-12, SEC, the Power Five conferences, whether their conference champions should have automatic spots in an expanded playoff field. I spoke to Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren this morning, and I asked him, why is it important for the Big Ten to have its conference champion have a guaranteed spot? He pointed to the schedules. He said that he believes that if the Big Ten champion, if they can make it through that schedule and win the conference championship, they deserve a spot in an expanded playoff. The flip side to that is Mike Oresko from the American Athletic Conference, who says, look, just because you are a brand name Power Five conference champion doesn't necessarily mean you deserve a spot in the playoff because you are a champion. And he's been adamant about that. Craig Thompson, the Mountain West commissioner, told me yesterday that he fought in that room for the format that you see on the table, which is six of the highest ranked conferences. conference champions, plus the next six highest ranked teams. But he also pointed out the flip side of it, which is what Oresco has been saying. Just because you're one of those big boys who's a conference champ doesn't mean you deserve to be in. And you can point to the Pac-12 in recent years, last year and this year, the ACC this year, when you look at a Wake Forest or a Pitt, and say, if those teams win their league, do they deserve to be in a playoff? And that is what is up for debate right now.
Talking to Heather Dinich. Heather, I know you're a reporter with a great perspective and you're not a soothsayer, but what is the most likely thing to come out of the Saturday meeting?
That is very difficult because I told you they don't even know, but Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlesby told me that he would be pleasantly surprised if they were able to come to a consensus. Pac-12 Commissioner George Kliavkov told me this week he doesn't think that they'll be able to do it because they have to be a unanimous, and right now 11 people are not in agreement. So given what they've told me, I would be surprised if they're able to come to a conclusion. But look, Greg Sankey said he thinks they can still get it done. The question that some of them have posed to me is what you heard Greg Sankey say earlier, which is it about what is for the greater good of college football, or is it about representing what your conference wants? There's not even an agreement right now across the board unanimously, Paul, on how many teams. We're all focusing on 12. There is some support in that room still for an 8-team format, though certainly not the majority.
What happens Monday? You mentioned the annual get-together of the top presidents and chancellors. Can they push the envelope at all? Can they say, listen, guys, we need to get something done here?
They could certainly push them towards that, yes, but at the end of the day, the key is if it's going to happen in this contract, a 12-year contract that runs through the 2025 season, if it's going to change before then, it has to be unanimous because all of the 10 FBS commissioners and Swarbrick and ESPN and the Rose Bowl and all of those New Year's Six bowl games, they sign their names to paper to this agreement. So if it's going to change, everyone has to agree to it. That's why, Paul, when you asked me earlier if I think it will happen or it won't, there is a growing feeling within that room amongst some of those commissioners. Hey, if we table this and start with a clean slate, it could be, in a way, easier to come to an agreement because it wouldn't necessarily have to be unanimous. And I asked CFP Executive Director Bill Hancock about that this week specifically. When it starts over at the end of the 2025 season, we're talking year 13, does it have to be unanimous? And his answer to me was, as far back as 30 years ago, the BCS Coalition, it has always been that it's up to the conferences to decide if they want to participate or not.
So let's look at this, the current structure, the contract that runs out in, what, is it 25? I've lost track here. But
yes. Yeah, through the 2025 season.
Right now, is it more likely that we see the end of that contract?
I think... I'm not going to predict it because I've tried to figure out what's going on in these guys' heads, and they go into the room and they also change their minds. It's not to say that the Big Ten right now sits here and wants that AQ and goes into the room tomorrow and is swayed otherwise. I mean, that's what happens when they get around the table. They don't know what's going to happen. So my best guess for you is that they don't agree only because they haven't to this point.
And these are the people that run college athletics, or college football, I should say. Heather, other than this, is there anything else that is front and center? Other than the game, of course.
Well, I did learn today from sources that they are considering Las Vegas and Miami as potential sites for future national championship games. They've got it locked in over the next 2 years, Los Angeles and then Houston. And then the final 2 years of the contract, they haven't decided those host cities yet. And they are being considered because it's not finalized yet. And that's all part of the discussions and the timeline. Bill Hancock has told me that, yes, the deadline has changed. changed because he said that the cities they are considering, and he wouldn't name specific cities' names, have been willing to be patient. How patient will they be? We don't know, but that's all part of that discussion, because if they do change the format, the host cities are obviously a part of that conversation.
Heather Dinich in Indianapolis. I don't know. I think looking at the weather forecast for the weekend, L.A. and Las Vegas look pretty good, Heather.
Bring your parka, Paul. It's a little cold here, just a little.
Okay. Thank you. We appreciate Heather always joining us. I don't plan on going outside, to be honest. We are coming right back. More to come right here. More of your phone calls.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we check in next with Brad, who is in Destin. Now, hey, Brad.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
Great to see you a couple weeks ago, Brad. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I was going to tell you, you and I talked briefly about the NIL and the transfer portal, how that was changing college football. Can you think, and I got a big kick out of you retelling the story about traveling with Tommy Limbaugh.
Well, you know, Limbaugh texted me and said I told the story rather poorly, which I did, because I was trying to fit it in within a four-hour show with Limbaugh. It would have taken a week to tell that story.
That's exactly right. He was he and I kidded one time, said we ate enough fried chicken to start growing feathers in recruits' homes and all that. But speaking of recruiting related to that, it used to be that recruits, the first thing they wanted to know was about playing time, about your facilities. The mamas wanted to know about them getting an education. Would you agree that now NIL has moved to the front of the to the front of the room?
Yeah, because especially if you're in the South, you don't need to quibble about facilities because everybody has great facilities.
Right.
And that used to be another part of it. Academic centers, they all have that. So yeah, if you're a player, you have. And what I don't understand, Brad, and you coached, I didn't, is how do you get around it without just flat out asking the coach, how much money am I going to make?
You can't. I mean, I did a blog on that this morning, that, and it was basically said cheating is out the window. There's everything is legal now. I mean, you can offer. You see what what's his name? Is it Batch?
Yeah, Charlie Batch
is offering. Yeah, is offering $1 million for a kid to, for the guy to transfer up to Central Michigan or wherever it is. So it's just turning into a bidding war. And the rich get richer. And, I think you had mentioned something about Texas A&M supposedly spent $30 million on this year's recruits. I mean, where does it end?
And by the way, Jimbo's going to be on later, and I'll try to find a gentle way of asking him about that, because and you and I have had this conversation before, but I mean, it sounds crazy to say just go out and cheat your way to a title, but nobody in Indianapolis is watching, so do whatever you can.
Well, there's no such thing as cheating anymore.
No.
I mean,
can you imagine 30 years ago if a coach came out publicly and said, we want you to come to our school. We'll give you $1 million. I mean, of course, the NCAA investigators, it would have taken them a week to figure out where it came from, but once they figured it out,
right.
There would be some investigation.
Yep. Every year, either the Yankees and the Lakers, and years ago, SMU tried it. Of course, they got caught, to buy a championship. And, it's just, like I said, cheating has just, it's just gone out the window. It's almost like a few years ago when, what was it, Bill France with NASCAR said, have at it, boys. Whatever you want to do, go ahead and do it. But I just wanted to chime in on that. And the other thing is, matter of fact, I'm driving to Indianapolis right now as we're as we're speaking, and it's just not going to seem right without Cecil Hurt being there. And,
yeah. We saw each other at Cecil's funeral, now that I remember it.
Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I thought of him last Friday. It seemed eerie. I kept looking for him. And,
yes.
And I think we will always keep looking for him. And it's just so sad to have a day at all without him, but especially a national championship game that, yep. that he would have so enjoyed.
Exactly. Well, I wanted to commend you. The eulogy that you did was spot on and heartfelt, and we all appreciated it.
Brad, thank you. Thank you very much for saying that. And
okay,
I will
buddy.
See you in Indianapolis this weekend. Let's continue next with Stephen in North
right.
Carolina. Hello, Stephen.
As we're speaking,
Stephen, you there? I don't think we how about Ethan next? Hello, Ethan.
Hey, Paul. I was wondering what you thought about Zach Calzada transferring to Auburn yesterday, and
right.
if you think they'll still pull in Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good move for Calzada. He clearly had to go somewhere, and he must have felt comfortable with Brian Harsin. I don't know what the deal on Caleb is going to be. I think he's going somewhere. It's either, you know, he's either going to USC or somewhere in the SEC or maybe Miami. That's what I hear, and I don't claim to have any, you know, any great insight. Where do you think he ought to go?
I think he might, since Calcutta left A&M, there's possibility for him to go to A&M, and then Texas is always looking for a new quarterback.
Texas look like they yeah, you're right about that. Well, Ethan, you take care of yourself. Thank you for calling us, and we will talk again very, very soon. Let's check in with Will, who's also in North Carolina. Hello, Will.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Now that the dust has settled on the Tennessee season, I mean, was Jeremy Pruitt that bad? I mean, they
yes.
can move the
yes,
ball
he was.
This year.
I mean, well, it's not so much that Jeremy Pruitt was that bad. It's that Josh Heupel turned out to be that good, and
true.
you know we all heard about his offensive prowess, but I think just watching him work with Hendon Hooker was really one of the more amazing parts of this football season.
Right, but I mean, Tim done a great job on defense too, considering, you know, I mean, both sides of the ball were affected by transfers, obviously, but I mean,
I agree with you, Will. I think the fact that you know, Josh Heupel went 8-5 in his first season was remarkable. Eddie is in Georgia. Hey, Eddie.
Paul, how are you today, my friend?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Good. I want to commend you at the top of this phone call for calling out that front-running Ric Flair the way you did. Thank you, sir.
Well,
because he is a quote-unquote Georgia fan. His daughter goes there.
Yeah.
He has always supported the Dogs. And then he comes out last week with a Michigan shirt on. So I tweeted him and asked him if he was going to put on an Alabama shirt this week because Nick Saban shook his hand one time. I mean, come on.
Well, it wasn't. Yeah. By the way, I don't care if he's friends with Harbaugh. I knew he's talked about Harbaugh before, but to call Kirby Smart out for not shaking my hand, like, who cares? I mean, there's no. You know, I run into coaches on the sideline. Some I know very well. Some I don't. I'm not looking to shake hands with those guys. They're busy. They got things to do. Ric Flair's got nothing to do. And, you know, I have had him on this program a million times, and we've always been thrilled to meet him and talk to him. But I thought that was just ridiculous. And I don't tell fan bases, you know, whether to welcome someone in or not, but I wouldn't want him as a fan of my program anymore after that.
Paul, if I was on the field and Kirby Smart came out to me and need me in the Fanoblies, it wouldn't change my fandom. It doesn't matter.
No. And it was just so petty. And by the way, there is an entitlement, Eddie, with fading celebrity. I see it all the time.
Sure.
And I think Ric Flair might be at the top of that list of people who feels like we owe him something. How many times has the world propped him up only to watch him fall back down. And I'm done with Ric Flair. Woohoo! We'll be right back.